Welcome to Believers Faith Fellowship. It's our hope that you will be blessed by the word. For more information about our worship services, please visit bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org.
Look to your neighbor and say, look again. That's a great spirit of discouragement. People are seeing things how they should not be. And before you quit, the Lord said, look again. Before you give up, the Lord said, look again. I want to challenge, what's shaping the way you see things? What's shaping the way you view life? Several weeks ago, Mr. Allison said something to me that I will never forget. He said, Jason, a closed fist never gets shook. He said, a closed fist or a closed hand never gets shook. And many of us are upset with life. Nobody's shaking my hand. No, things are not flowing for me. And the Lord said, look again. When you open up, it's an amazing with how things will happen. Look at your neighbor and say, you are not the victim. Look again. All right. Look again means refocusing on the intended goal, letting the promise of God be the driving force. There's a picture going viral of Michelle Obama meme mugging Barack. He's taking a selfie with two people, and she's just sitting there looking all crazy. And then there's another image where she's moved him over one seat and she's sitting in between him and the woman he was taking the picture with. But there's another picture where she's laughing with everybody else. Your view of life is shaped on the image that you see. I want to challenge you, is the image you're seeing correct? Look again. What you're seeing may not be what is. Look again. I want to tell you something. Satan is in rare form these days. He is manipulating the minds. He is twisting truths. He got folks who love each other hating each other. He's trying to get people pulling back. I want to tell everybody who's made a strong stance that God has brought you out of some crazy situations, relationships. And you may not, I'm not saying you're better than a person, but you're better than where they are. And you find yourself now being pulled back into old relationships. Look again. There's a reason you broke up. Y'all looking at me strange. Look again. That there's a reason why you are not where you were. When you feel the pull to go back, look again. Satan makes his tactics seem spiritual, but he uses unbiblical methods. Never will God use a method that will have you looking at folks crazy. God doesn't need to tear somebody else down to lift himself up. He's God all by himself. He's God by himself. One of the greatest tactics that Satan is using is ignorance. And the people of God, we are ignorant when it comes to spiritual warfare and handling conflict. We think handling conflict is being emotional. That is not machine gunning the devil in tongues. And you just going crazy. I love tongues. I'm like Paul, I speak in tongues more than you all. But being emotional is not spiritual warfare. Because you can be emotional and live a lie. Spiritual warfare is diagnosing the truth and telling the devil, you will not shape my view of myself, my God, or my people. Y'all right? I'm going to give you some principles on looking again. Look to neighbor again. Say, look again. Genesis, tell them, oh, God's not finished. Look at your neighbor and say, look again. Yes. Genesis 3, 1 and 6. 1 through 6. And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, yeah, hath God not said, every tree of the garden you shall eat? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, ye shall not eat of, neither shall you touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent twisted truth and said, you won't surely die. And the reality is she didn't die in the moment, but part of her spirit died. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good, now something evil looked good based off words. You got to watch what you intake. And that was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof, did eat, and got it, and she gave also to her husband. Here's some things to establish your look again moment. The first thing is this. You got to build your look on the truth. The Bible says you know the truth, and the truth sets you free. Here's something about it. Number one, God's word is enough. When he speaks, that's it. Now, you have heard your whole life. Don't question God. Don't. Questioning God means questioning his authority. But you can ask God questions. Anybody God ever told you something and you don't quite understand? And it's not saying, God, I question your authority, but I need some clarity in my life. So I go to God and I seek him for clarity because he knows what he's talking about. We had a retreat this weekend, and we went to a lodge, and some of the leaders here, we spent some time, and Barbara was on the way, and I heard Isaiah in the background, and Isaiah said, "Mommy, I want to ask Daddy something," because Isaiah was coming to stand. He said, "Daddy, the place that we're going, does it stink?" He said, "Do they got stuff for kids?" And I said, "Isaiah, do you think Daddy will take you to a place that stinks? And do you think Daddy will let you get on everybody else's nerves because they don't have stuff for kids?" I'm laughing at Isaiah, but some of us treat God the same way. I'm taking you to a new place. Does it stink? I'm doing some new things in your life. Will it have things that I can enjoy? Like, God gonna do something in your life to torment you. He may stretch you, but God's always going to bring out his desire and bring you peace in a situation. Look at your neighbor and say, "Look again." So Satan moves because God's word is enough. So he twists the word that God speaks. Satan always has evidence to support his lie. Always has evidence to support his lie, but it's still a lie. He uses your personality triggers to twist truth in your life. What are triggers in your life? If you have an affinity for pleasing people, if you worry about what man thinks of you, if you are fearful of death, if you are fearful of certain things happening, Satan uses those gates to enter into your life to twist the promise that God spoke over you. Can I tell you his promises are yea and amen? The attack against Eve was really against her confidence and her identity. He said, "You'll be as gods." Now listen, we don't need but one God. He created her to be Eve. She didn't need to be God. Satan twists on your identity and gets you in competition with your husband. Wives, you are not your husband. Husband, you are not your wife. You have distinct roles, but you are to operate together. Say, you sit next to your wife, say, "We're better together." Yeah. Satan have you looking at folks funny because you'll draw conclusions based off inaccurate information. You listen to Steve Harvey in the morning, they read a strawberry letter. And some ridiculous moron that got enough nerve to put their news on all on the airways. "My husband started doing this, and my husband started doing that, and your husband 15 minutes late because he got a donut from Krispy Kreme and a cafe mocha from Starbucks, and you ask him 1,000 questions when he walks in the door." Now watch this. Your image was shaped off what you heard, not what you know. You live with this man. Yeah. Many of us have shaped our image of people, whether they be successful or whatever, based off things we hear and not what we know. Yes. Satan will have you looking at folks funny, and you'll watch this. Let me show you how Satan works. He puts lies in your head and will never engage you with the originator of the promise. Watch this. He accused Eve to God, but Eve never took the serpent to God and said, "He said." She made up her mind based off a lie and went accusing God. That's Satan's tactics. He will accuse your husband, your wife, teenagers. He'll make your parents like the dumbest person in the world. Like they don't support you. They don't know what's going on in your life. And by the time you're going to them, you're combative and not asking questions. The Bible said an offended brother is harder won than a fortified city. When you offend a person, when you go to them, you'll never reach them. I'm going to show you how Satan twists the mind by distracting you. He twists the truth. I had a gentleman who played basketball with us. He got kicked off the team. And before we warmed up, he would stand right in the doorway. Some of you guys go to Central, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. We would warm up on the, I think it was the south end. And he would stand right in the doorway. I'm like, "Y'all sorry. They going to kill y'all. Man, y'all ain't going to do nothing. Y'all horrible." And there's a bunch of people in the gym, and I just heard one voice. Where he would sit. Y'all know, y'all been to the gym in Shelbyville. He'd sit up in the corner on the right-hand side, and I would hear his one voice out of everybody in the gym. "I told you, sorry. I told you they're going to dunk on y'all. I told you they're going to make you look like a fool." Finally, one day, something stopped me and said, "Jason, he's not on the team. He's not even on the floor, but he's the loudest voice in your life. Out of all these people cheering you on, you hear one joker in the crowd telling you you're going to fail." Satan amplifies the voice of the enemy in your life when God is in heaven saying, "Go head on. I got you. You got all these people in your life that love you, and one person said they don't like your food. One person said they don't like your voice. One person said you ugly. One person said this." And watch this. He said he's upset because he's disqualified and you still on the floor. Only concern yourself with folks on the floor. That was the same way, and you got to remind him, you will never, ever, ever get on my level. I'm here. You're there. I already know you're fake. When he tries to remind you what God's going to do in your life, what's not going to happen in your life, you remind him of his future. When he reminds you of your past, your future's already set. All right? You all right? Let me get where I'm going. Another thing with this, you got to guard the integrity of your relationships by guarding the information you intake. Words create images. Images create visions. When you listen, watch this. Faith cometh by and hearing by. So if faith comes by the word of God, hearing the word of God, fear comes by hearing the wrong information. The more you meditate on wrong information, the more it creates a vision of failure in your life. The more you digest what God says, the greater the promise becomes and the minimal the issues become. Here's the challenge. We want to know too much of the wrong thing instead of investing in the right thing. Somebody come to you and somebody could be intimidated or by you. They say, they're talking about you. Really? What they say? My question is, what does it matter? You get what they say in your head. Well, they said you're funny acting. They said you're arrogant. And you get to mulling that in your head and something happened. Maybe I am arrogant. Maybe I am funny acting. And now you done shape your view of yourself based off somebody that don't like you. I'm going to shape my view of myself based off the one that created me. The ones that love me, not by somebody that means, y'all right in here, who means me no good. So I got to, next thing is this, I got to look in faith. I got to base what I see in truth. Then I got to see truth in faith like it is achievable. What God said for me is achievable. 2 Kings chapter 6. Y'all got your Bible in here? 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. I'll read it for the sake of time. And it says, and when the servant of man, that Elijah was on a mountain, he was with his servant. He was revealing the strategy of his enemy to the king of the area. And they were trying to find him, saying he's destroying our plan. So they wanted to kill him. So here's what brings us to the scripture. Verse 15 said, and when the servant of man was risen up early and gone forth, behold, a host encompassed the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered and said, the servant saw all these people surrounding him. And he said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they would be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Hold on a minute. He done saw once, but the Lord said, I want you to look again. And that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots round about them. When you look in faith, you see what God is saying, not the obvious. Number one is this. When you are overwhelmed, do not magnify your problem or the issue. Magnify the promise of God. Anybody ever had more bills than you got money? Anybody seem like you ever got more demands than you do time? It is easy to be overwhelmed by the demand and not do a thing. And you look at what all you have to do. Don't focus on that. Focus on the supplier of the need. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Most of us do the obvious. Oh, magnify, they don't like me on my job. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough hours in the day. If one more person asks me a question, God, I am uncomfortable. God, this is not working right. Versus, God, I thank you for the opportunity to walk out my purpose. It doesn't seem like it's working out right now. But, oh, I magnify you because you never run out. You're going to supply every need in my life. How does that sound different versus moaning and complaining? Look at your neighbor and say, how's that working for you? Tell him, look again. The second thing is this, ask the Lord to open your eyes. Watch this. He saw once and saw the enemy. He saw again and saw God's possibility. Your flesh sees the obvious, but your faith sees the outcome. One more time. Your flesh sees the obvious. Your faith sees the outcome. The obvious and the outcome don't always align. He didn't ask him to ignore what he saw. He said, look past it. God knows you have issues in your life, but God said, I see them, but look beyond it. Look, on the other side, anybody going through some tough times right now? I mean, some stuff coming at you. Let me see your hand in here. I mean, it seems like Satan is fighting you in every hand. Can I tell you that on the other side of that? That is nothing more than a distraction to one of the greatest moves of God you have ever seen in your life. And they that be with you more than they that be with them. Next thing you got to do is deal with your fear. Don't tolerate it. And the saints are good for tolerating fear. Oh, my God, you'll speak in tongues and we'll shout and talk about how we're going to beat the devil. But you're afraid to walk in your house because I don't know who left that light on. Your car didn't start and you got to work. Your computer didn't come on. Ooh, something bad trying to happen to me. And you praying not out of faith, but out of fear. Oh, God, don't let it happen to me. You look at your computer and say, you will start today. Yeah. You walk in your house and say, listen, I live here. All, anything in here that is not supposed to be, you need to get out right now. This is my house.
That's right.
Some of y'all hearing noises in your house. Barbara woke up that day and said, something's upstairs. I jumped up like this. No, they woke out of sleep. She was not afraid. At first, I grabbed my cane. I ran upstairs. Someone said, hold up. This is your house. No, this is your house.
Yeah.
There's nothing demonic going to happen in my house.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Nothing spooky going to happen in my house.
Yeah.
Nothing weird going to happen in my house.
Yeah.
One of us got to go, and it ain't me.
Yeah.
I pay the bills in here. I walk by faith in here. I'm the head of the house in here. So everything that don't come under the authority of the word of God in my roof, let your neighbor say, it ain't got to go home, but it got to get up out of here. You can have two people in the same place. One can have no fear. And the other can have faith. One to quit. And the other one to go on through. Fear runs many of us. And we're afraid of everything. Fear has robbed us of a whole lot of stuff. I had a guy who wanted to go to the circus. Was it Cirque du Soleil? And he wouldn't go to the circus because somebody told him it was demonic. And his whole life, he said, if I went to it. And he went and enjoyed it and felt bad. And he finally went and questioned his mom, why couldn't we go to the circus? All them clowns and tigers and that's just demonic. People walking on that stuff. And come to find out, when he really asked her, got to boil down to it, she was scared of clowns. She didn't like all the paint and all that and the big hair. She was scared. She didn't have no scripture, no nothing on it. Just scared. And most stuff that we're afraid of, we make it demonic. Because it makes us uncomfortable. So somebody God will send in your life that makes you uncomfortable to push you to another level, and you put a devil on their face. When it could be that God is using them to push you out of a bad attitude.
Yeah.
That's pushing you out of your comfort zone, but you call it demonic because you're scared. I ain't getting no amens on that one. The next thing you have to do is that you gotta, when you look in faith, you gotta define the they's in your life and take the focus off us and them. He said, they that be with us are more than they than be with them. Who is the they? The they with them was the kingdom of darkness. The they with us is the kingdom of God. You know what's really messing with us and them? Because a lot of thems ain't our enemies. But you got a lot of theys who have interjected their opinion into your life and have made us and them enemies. And you got to get the negative theys out of your life and see the us and them for what we really are. Because one can chase a thousand. Two can put 10,000 to flight, and it could be that Satan is messing with every healthy relationship in your life because he knows if you ever hook up in faith, husband and wife, you ought to just sit, y'all look at each other one day and say, you know what? I'm tired of arguing over dishes. I'm tired of arguing over stupid stuff. It ain't the dishes. It ain't this silly stuff. We are not going to let the enemy up in my house.
Yeah.
We're going to walk. Yes, I don't like everything you do, but it don't mean I don't like you. So I'm not going to get personal when I really, the problem is your shoes. It ain't you. We're going to deal with the real issue here and walk forward by faith. I thought the married folk would say something to me. Right there. But you got to have the right mentality and when you deal with things and have the theys in your life. The next one is this. You got to look with the right mentality. Mark 8, 23 through 25. Mark 8, 23 through 25. Jesus, he was healing a person here. He healed a blind man. He said this. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hand upon him. and asked him if he saw things as they were, as they should be. And he looked and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he's put his hands up on his eyes again, and he made him look up. He didn't ask him this time. He made him. He was restored and saw everything clearly. You can be in a spiritual moment and look from a carnal perspective. You listen to a lot of our music. You listen to a lot of we say. Now, there's some king. There's a lot of great kingdom music. But you look at a lot of what Christians say out of their mouth. You can be saved with a backwards mentality. And you demonize everything that you don't have. Saw a rich man and he didn't look happy riding in his Lexus. And I just knew that one day he gonna come to Jesus. Like you can't be wealthy and know Jesus. Like being poor is close to God. Look at your neighbor and say, how's that working? You riding one, your windows won't come down, the air work one day, maybe the next, and you speaking in tongues, praying like God. I grew up in Church of God in Christ, and Bishop Mason said he was in a jail cell one time, and God blew a cool wind in there to keep him. Now, he didn't have no air conditioner, but you praying every day, God, let a cool wind. Let my heat just come on. Listen, we demonize certain things because our perspective is off. Your mentality shapes how you see things. How you see, listen, when we're under the blood, there is no black. There is no white. There is no ethnicities under the blood, but you can be saved and prejudiced and separated. But what separates us is not the blood, the fact that we love Jesus, but our preference. We like to shout over here. Well, we like to lift our hands and cry and worship. And we all love the same Jesus, but we argue over our preference. When you shift your mentality, you realize that the kingdom of God is bigger than my race. It's bigger than my denomination. It's bigger than how I was raised. There's a vast majority of Jesus lovers out there who don't compromise the integrity of the gospel, who believe in living holy, who believe in living right. And if we expand our borders, we'll expand the way we think. Watch this. You may love fried chicken. I like baked chicken. They may like barbecue chicken. They may like a broiled chicken. But at the end of the day, it's all chicken. It's chicken no matter how you make it. But your mentality shapes the way you see things. The thing with this, you got to make sure you see things accurately. Just because you've been in prayer, just because you spent time with God, and you feel God in the quickening moving in your life, don't mean you heard God correctly. I got proof in this scripture. This man got prayed for, and the Lord opened his eyes. He was blind. But when he first saw, he didn't see correctly. Just because you heard from God don't mean you heard what he said. You can hear a word from God through your former condition. You can hear a word from God through rejection. You can hear a word from God through a mind that has not been renewed from anger and hate. And God speaks to you that I am going to bring vengeance and I'm going to bring recompense to you. And you think God going to destroy the people you hate. What God is really saying is I'm going to restore everything you lost. And if you won't, I'll reconcile it with the people who hurt you. But you got to hear it through the eyes of something that is not a victim. You all right? The man saw things as trees. Meaning, blind people in that society were not seen as contributors. They were seen as less than. So when his eyes were open, he still saw it through the eyes of his condition. And the Lord had to pray for him again, so he saw it as he was. Watch this. The size of the trees didn't change. The miracle was not about reduced trees. The miracle was about him seeing it correctly. God is not going to change your situation. He's going to change
you.
Maybe that was just for me. So your spirit and your mind have to be aligned. I've seen people spend 4 hours in prayer. I've done it myself. And come out and make a foolish decision because I made it based off immaturity. And I really should have processed what God was saying. I moved according to zeal and not zeal with knowledge. When God speaks, I got to renew my mind to his promise. Your spirit receives, but your mind perceives. You can receive something genuine, but your perceptor, the way you see things, needs to be changed to see things the way God sees them. Fear binds your mind so that God can give you a promise, but you need some spiritual glasses of faith to cause you to see. Beginning of this year, I told myself, I'm coming off blood pressure medicine. My blood pressure is coming down, and I believe in God that I'm not going to take this lisinopril for the rest of my life. I tell you right now that I am blood pressure medicine free. and my blood pressure is fine. But watch this. God told me it's going to come down. Just recently, I went and had a physical because they wouldn't renew. How it really came off was that they wouldn't renew it because I had to have a physical. So my doctor took my blood pressure. He said, it's fine. Let's check it for a few months. I went back in a few weeks ago for a physical, and I was just waiting. I prayed, Jesus, let my blood pressure be low. He said, Jason, what did I tell you? She checked my blood pressure. It was fine. I said, check it again. She checked it again. She said, sir, it's fine. I was having certain dizzy spells. I'm thinking, oh, my God, something going on. I had them put a Holter monitor on me, and for 24 hours, they monitored my heart. I was the most prayed up I was for 24 hours. But all I heard was, Jason, you're fine. The results came back, and they said, Mr. Scales, ain't a thing wrong with you. And can I tell you something? I probably weigh more now than I did at the beginning of the year. The promises of God are moved by faith. You standing on what God says and not how you feel or what you see. When you look again at the promise, your life must align with the word of God. And you walk by faith and not by sight. What did God say he was going to do? Did God say he was going to bring you out? Did God say he was going to bring you through? You stand flat-footed on the word of God and watch your reality line up with the word of God. I'm about finished, but can I tell you how to hear word from God correctly and to look again correctly? The first thing is this. Understand the call. When God tells you something, you hear it based off your point of reference. Who grew up in church mainly? Who, you got a strong church background. If I went up to you and I said, the Lord spoke to me about you, there's a call of God on your life, what would you hear? You're called to preach. You hear that because you're raised in church. The only call from God is not, now there's nothing wrong with being raised in church, but the only call of God is not to preach. You may be called to business. You may be called to be the next greatest playwright. You may be called to be an author. You may be called to do something tremendous, but you hear it based off your point of reference. So what God says to do is get my word in your spirit and don't do a thing until I give you instructions. Hallelujah. Anybody ever been waiting on a call from a job? And they called, and you knew, and you saw it on the caller ID, and you knew it was them. How many of you threw your phone down and ran around the house five times and said, they called. The call ain't good unless you listen to what they're saying. Some of us have heard God. He called me. Great. He called all of us. You called. Now the question is, what are you called to? So I got to understand the call. Watch this. The interpretation of what's being said does not lie with the listener. The interpretation of what's being said lies with the speaker, meaning you can't change God's word to fit your situation. You got to change your situation to fit God's word. God does not bless a mess. God does not bless. He will bless you in spite of your mess just to show you that I called you and with loving kindness, I'll draw you. So I understand my call. You ever had somebody try to tell you what you mean when you say? When you say something. Well, how are you going to tell me what I meant when I said it? We do God the same way. The second thing is you got to seek counsel. I have made some fast decisions because I heard God speak. I've heard God say, go and do a thing. And I went and did it without seeking counsel. The man had the luxury of having Jesus there with him. Can I tell all of you all, when God speaks to you, you can be zealous. You could be working in an apartment in church and on your job. Ask him what to do next. Don't just get zealous and overrun authority in your life. Man, so go seek counsel. Go find somebody who's filled with the Spirit. Go find somebody who is just wise and sit down and said, this is what I feel God is saying with me, to me. When they challenge it, don't take it as attack on the word of God or your faith. Seek clarity and clarify what God is saying. God can speak to you about a person, and you can go spend a week fasting about them and praying, and God, I believe in you saying this about them. You know what would be just as good while you're fasting? If you engage that person and say, hey, man, I feel like God is speaking this to me, and get them to respond back. They will help you clarify so you know exactly what you're praying, and you have better clarity in what you're doing. When God speaks and tells you to do a thing, seek counsel. Can I tell you again? When God tells you to do a thing, seek counsel. God told me to go back to school. He didn't say tomorrow. So you quit your job and you got a family to support and you got all this stuff because God said. God always gives a strategy when he gives a word. He's not spooky. He is not erratic. God moves by a plan. He could have created the world in one day, but he was smart enough to create it, and he put everything in place before he made man, and then he put man in it. So we move like our Father. We create a plan, and then we insert ourselves in it. Y'all right? So I got to seek counsel, and then I got to get clarity. After people have spoke, I've heard from God. After I sought counsel, then I steal away. God, what are you saying to me? And I got to figure out what to do with what you're saying. Y'all ever told somebody something, and when you told them, they wouldn't try to fix it, and all you want them to do is listen? Some stuff God is just saying because he wants you to pray. Some stuff God is making you aware of because of your call. You call to intercede. He don't want you to go solve it. Oh, I see they're having marriage issues. You're not a marriage counselor. You may do more damage than you do help. God may want you just intercede for that couple. And to go, maybe interject and say, hey, maybe have you thought about seeing this person? All right? You can't shape what God's word by what you want it to be. You got to have clarity on it. And the last thing, and I'm through, is this. Once you get a word from God, you got clarity, strategy, and you're ready to make a sound decision. Don't just sit there and celebrate it. Do something about it. We are so good as Christians. God said, God said. Next year, God said, God said. God is a God of action. And he wants you to look again and do something. Here's my question. What are you going to do? What are you going to do with what God is speaking? If God's been speaking to anybody in here, I want you to get counsel, get clarity, and then carry on. And you're going to find yourself looking at life like you never imagined. Stand to your feet. You bow your head and close your eyes. First, if there's anybody in here, you don't know the Lord as your Savior. You don't know him in the pardon of your sins. And you say, I want a relationship with God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In this moment, you feel God tugging on your heart. So I need to commit my life to him or recommit my life to him. Don't you leave here today with a need in your life. Without getting in the right relationship with God. In this day and time, people want the benefits without the commitment of a relationship. Man, they got all kinds of slogans. Too blessed to be stressed. You blessed and highly favored. The way to really be blessed is to be in a relationship with God. That's how you get the real benefits. He wants more than your mind and the way you think. God wants your heart. God knows you're smart. He created you to be smart. But God said, I want your heart, and you renew your mind to what's in your heart. If you're in here today and you said, I don't know God in the free pardon of my sin, and I want to be saved, you're just going to stand at your seat, and I want you to lift your hand. We're going to lead you to the Lord today. You say, I want to know God. I want to be saved. God bless you. Bless you. God bless all of you. Listen, I want to pray to some people who need some clarity to what God is speaking to them. You want to make sure you're looking at things right before you make a move, before you make a decision. You're saying, God, I need to see this thing right. I need to see what you're saying. I want you to slip your hands up all over this building. You say, I need to see it straight. I need some clarity. Slip your hands up all over this building. And I'm going to pray. That's good. Father, I thank you with those hands lifted. Your word says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth liberally to all men and upbraideth not. God, you don't hold back when we ask for it. Father, here's our commitment to you. If you speak, we'll listen. I'm not going to twist your words. I'm not going to make it fit what I want it to be. But I'm going to receive it and walk in it. You're not going to take me to a place that stinks. You're not going to take me to a miserable place. But you're going to take me to an abundant place, even if it makes me uncomfortable. So, Father, I pray wisdom all over this house. Not only pray wisdom that they hear from you, but I pray divine connections, that there are objective people in their life who are not co-signers of their emotions, but they are bearers of truth who will help reveal what the Lord is speaking to a person. I thank you for that right now, for clarity in the name of Jesus and for the ability to move on. I thank you. And I bless you right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Do me a favor, hug as many people as you can and tell them, look again.
You have been listening to a life-changing message from Believers Faith Fellowship in Christiana, Tennessee, where Jason Scales is the pastor. Let us connect with you. Please visit us at bfftn.org. That's bfftn.org. Define your destiny. Develop in your purpose. Discover your potential. Come experience life in 3D at Believers Faith Fellowship.